It's Anxious and Angry, episode 9, live from Punk Rock Bowling in Las Vegas. Sick revolution, bro.
The dollar dances on our asses!
Hello, we are back. Look, it seems to work. John, yeah. You want to talk a little
bit?
Yeah,
those are definite sound waves. I've seen those before.
They look like sound waves. Everything should be cool.
All right.
What the fuck? And let's see how it sounds with us talking over a band playing, because there's no better time to do this than with a band playing. Come on, band, play.
Seriously.
Is there like 4 people over there?
I have no idea. This lady, when she was sound checking, was hilarious, though. She was
she was like,
we're gonna sound check real quick. Hey, baby, what's going on, baby? And then they started a song. And she's like, yo, you want to hear this shit? 3:30. In case you didn't hear me, that's 3:30. And then she got off the stage. Like, I'm really curious what this band looks like. I have no idea who it is.
Well, shit. Maybe we should stop this segment and run over there, make sure this works, and then come back.
Yeah, this is like a bad idea.
We're keeping this.
Okay.
All right, we went and checked out the band. Girl with a Mohawk. They're called The Objects.
Yes.
And
with a K.
She's fucking, I thought it was with an X.
Oh, maybe it is. I can't tell.
I think it's an X.
I think you're right. Yes.
But yeah, they're good. They're funny.
Yes.
She did a what I would call the circle headbang with the titties.
Yeah, she was shaking them.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, good for them.
Yeah. Wish them the best.
So, I'm here with nice John Polidorus, working the merch booth at the Anxious and Angry table at Punk Rock Bowling 2014. It is Sunday. We just recorded an entire episode out here before the bands were playing because we thought that would be a good idea. I went back to my hotel room to mix it all up and get it ready to go. And it fucked up, and all it recorded was a bunch of clicking.
Yeah.
So thank God for that. And that would be the third one in a row that was all fucked up.
Yeah. Thanks God.
Kyle Kinane I did, Jack Dalrymple I did, and they are all destroyed because of this fucking shitty interface that I am using. And I'm stuck using it, but I feel like we've got it under control right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we just kind of have to multitask while we do it. So,
I'm gonna set the stage for you right now. We're working the booth, and I think we have potential buyers.
We do. So what we're going to do is we're going to sell some stuff, then we're going to get back to this.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Boom. Merch sold. $20 richer.
Shit, yeah.
All right. So anyway, we're going to do this again. We're going to get this fucking thing done and out today. I'm not going to be a baby about it and whine. We're just going to do it. But the format's going to be a little bit different because we're out of our element. We are in a parking lot in the desert with bands playing and people coming up to the table. So we're going to have to start and stop a little bit. But that's the price we pay for deciding to do a podcast at an event.
It's live.
It is live.
So we said live earlier. We were kind of bullshitting. But now I really feel like we're live.
Yeah, like I don't know why. There's just something going on. Anyway, here with nice John Polidorus, guitarist of Off With Their Heads, and many other projects. Let's run through it again. Let's do all this shit that we just did one more fucking time. All
right.
And try and keep it as genuine as we possibly can.
Absolutely. I think we can do that.
So John lives in Grays Lake, Illinois, which is 40 miles due northwest of Chicago, near the Wisconsin border.
Yep.
Near Great America.
Yeah.
There is a pizza place there and a hot dog place, I'm sure.
Yes, there are. Both of those.
That's Grayslake, Illinois.
Within walking distance of where I live.
Yes. What else? What else do you do when you're not doing this?
Well, for the last 18 years of my life, I've been the guitar player in a band called Vacation Bible School, which is probably the band I've done the most traveling and shows and stuff with over the last 18 years.
Nice.
And then various side projects throughout Chicago, starting with Business Papers, Five Furious, The House of Glory Vanderbilt. I was in a band called Extra Credit Assignment, a band called 24 Frames.
What band was Todd from Apocalypse Hoboken in?
Oh, you know what? And Vice Lords. I was in a band called Vice Lords.
You were in Vice Lords.
Todd and the Broke Downs, the guys from the Broke Downs. And then Todd was also the singer of The House of Glory Vanderbilt.
Bold move, having a band called Vice Lords in Chicago.
This is classic Todd. The gang Vice Lords called themselves The Vice Lords, and there's a space between the words Vice and Lords. So Todd's like, well, if we just take the off, and make Vice Lords, like, wait, let me do my Todd impression. And, like, make Vice Lords, like, one word, it'll be all right.
I feel like they would understand.
Yeah.
Was the gang, Vice Lords is a notorious Chicago gang.
Yes. VL, Vicky Lou.
Do you think that they're understanding of that?
You know what's really weird? And to this day, because Vice Lords doesn't play anymore, we split up a while back. And to this day, I'll still get notifications, because I'm what's the word for our Facebook page?
Administrator.
And I'm an administrator for our Facebook page. And every now and then I'll get an alert that somebody likes the band, and it's always somebody that's totally a gang member.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
totally
awesome.
It's just them, like, fucking, like, totally fucking stacking, like, throwing up signs on their Facebook picture.
I guess that's cool.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know if they did the research or not. I do remember one time we played at the Cobra Lounge and a car full of interesting gentlemen pulled up and asked our guitar player, I was like, yo, what's the name of your band? And he said, Vice Lords. And immediately was like, oh, God.
Maybe they're flattered.
Yeah, the guys was like, yeah, that's cool. And he just drove off. And he was just like, he was kind of an edgy guy and really nervous. And he was just like, they're going to come back and kill us all. Nah, they don't give a shit.
They might, but they probably won't.
They might, but there's...
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
So we're here at Goblin Fest. Where there's just creatures from all sorts of different lagoons running around.
Black lagoons, gray,
regular.
White. Just standard bluish lagoons.
Milky, puke. I knew if we do it the second time, it'd be a little looser.
Yeah, I feel like it.
Yeah, whatever. Lots of black t-shirts, lots of mohawks, like lots of spikes, lots of bondage stuff, lots of spandex. If anyone... I know a lot of people in the UK listen to this. This is like Rebellion Fest Junior. It's fucking pretty incredible. And lots of gang members as well. But hey, we're kicking it. But yeah, I don't know what the night has in store for us. We're just going to kind of whip through some stuff, get this episode up. It's fine. Don't
okay.
worry.
Okay. Just check.
Now we're both being very paranoid.
I know. We're staring at the computer like, is anything happening? Is this comedy gold? Is anything happening?
That was the edit bay that you were looking at.
Oh, okay.
And I dropped
okay.
it off because it was making the computer run a little slow.
All right. Cool.
So, let's get right into some music right now. Let's play a Vacation Bible School song
again
that I went to my hotel room and downloaded. So, at least we have that going on.
Cool.
What song are we going to hear?
This song is called Nobody Home, You Know Who Ruined the Scene, which is the title track of our last record on Underground Communique.
Which came out in 2011.
Yeah, I think so.
I know that because it said that on the iTunes page.
It was recorded in probably 2008 and released in 2011 because that's how we do stuff.
That's good timing. All right, Vacation Bible School on Anxious and Angry.
If you don't release the hostages, don't receive what I can give. Nothing is broken here, just this motherfucking scene. If you don't know what a love it is, haven't lived the life I've lived, walk a mile in these shoes, you still wouldn't get there for days. And if you're thinking of running away, I thought that you might. You can say what you gotta say, but what gives you the right? You can go on and go on all night, I won't even put up a fight.
All right, we're back. That was Vacation Bible School. Nobody home. You could go for it. I mean.
Oh, okay. I, sorry.
You sorry. Like that long
sorry,
pause?
Sorry,
I kind of went with it just to see how long you would actually sit there.
You know me. I would just probably just like, well, do I go?
I should have really went for it. We could have killed that much more time just to be like, how long could I actually wait before he says something? So in our first one, you kind of went off a little bit about what that song was about. Feel free to do it again a little more tastefully.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if like I necessarily went off. I think maybe I just started talking before I was thinking about it.
A classic move.
That's a classic me move, especially. Well, it was actually written about a member of the band who was actually currently in the band when we recorded the song. It's just kind of about having a person or a friend in your life who just can't, for some reason, fully take responsibility for their own actions at times. And we're all kind of like pushed and pulled by the world that we live in and people that we know and the things that we do. But at some point in time, you kind of have to own up to your own bullshit. And it was kind of a release for me to write the song while still being in the band with the guy at the time. Because it was just, you know, bands is, it's stressful, tense. Everybody's on each other's ass about stuff at times. It's not all just, you know, cocaine and broads. It's a lot of actually just sitting in basements.
I'm all
not
about
doing
free
anything.
Speech, but don't say broads.
Sorry. I mean, I don't do cocaine, and I don't think I actually ever call anybody a broad, really. So
then why are you posing, dog?
I don't know, man. I'm on a podcast. If you're trying to look important
what
or sound
people
important.
People on podcast pieces, I guess they are kind of pieces of shit.
Especially some of the podcasts I listen to.
Yeah.
Except for Ice-T.
Another thing we were talking about was how I didn't want to fucking do this today because the last couple ones that I did were all fucked up. So it was even funnier. It's not, obviously it wasn't funny. It was a little devastating to go back, send the podcast off to my web guys so it can be up in time, and then find out that it was just a series of clicks. And now, as funny as I think that would be to just put that out and be like, might lose a couple people if you do that.
It's avant-garde. It's experimental.
I am very, very avant-garde.
If I know anything, I know that.
Yeah, it is true. So how punk rock bowling works is there's bowling and there's punks everywhere.
Yeah.
Skinheads. We saw Cox Bar last night.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And we're all together in this giant hot parking lot. We watched Face to Face sound check.
That was cool.
And it's funny because they don't let you in and out, but bands start at 3. So it sucks unless you're probably about 4th or 5th on the bill.
Yeah. Totally.
Which was why I was pretty excited we did a club show.
Yeah, I think now that I see how this is all working, I much preferred that, I think.
Yeah. And playing outside's funny, but I sang with the Belltones a couple years ago, and it was funny seeing Bill Belltone fucking, like, a ginger dude in the sun out here. He just immediately turned beet red and sang, like, half the songs and then just turned and looked at me and shook his head. I was like, sing your songs, you fucking dickhead.
Hey, come on, man. You never been outside before? Don't tell him I said that.
No, he will kill you.
I know.
He's super mean.
I know that.
He's nice to me for some reason.
I'm never in the same place as him, so I'm okay with that. But I feel like Bill Pelton's the kind of guy who would make sure he was in the same place as I was.
He's not super. No, I mean, he is kind of a dick, but he's not. He's not, like... He claims he's okay now.
Love your stuff,
we'll
man.
Yeah, of course.
Don't
he's
beat
great.
Me up. Don't kill me.
Man, I wish I would have brought a Belltones song. We could have played that.
Damn.
Everyone would kind of get it a little bit more.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the Belltones, I suggest you check that out.
For sure.
If you like my band, then you'll probably like that quite a bit. What else did we talk about before the world turned against me and deleted our entire conversation?
I mean, you kind of went into how you've been in a kind of a dark place the last couple of days, mainly because of what you're going through in the podcast and
yeah, that
losing
and
that stuff,
all that stuff, and tons of other shit. But nah, it doesn't really matter.
I don't think we mentioned in the first go around. We should probably mention now that we are porta potty adjacent, which is cool.
We are. You can go in there and vomit.
A stone's throw.
Everybody else did.
Oh God, it's so gross.
It's real gross in there.
Someone puked blood last night. I saw it.
Oh.
I know.
Dude, I swear to God, these people are garbage pail kids.
No, absolutely, absolutely. They all get a sticker and a card and a piece of gum.
I forgot to tell you, I was walking up to my room last night, and Renee and I and the guy in the elevator with us on the back of his arms had Mein Kampf tattooed.
That's an interesting choice.
One arm mine, the other arm Comf. And I was like, bold move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's.
I wonder, do you think like he's like a non-racist skinhead who just like really appreciates that book?
Yeah, I mean,
have you ever read that book?
I think I actually had to read it for a political science class in college. Yeah. They make you just kind of like, you know, be aware of everything.
Someone gave it to me for like Christmas that. As a joke, and I read the first 20 pages of it, and I was like, it literally is like, when I was a young boy in Austria,
yeah.
I loved to paint, yeah. and it sucks. The
yeah.
book sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really funny that that's the thing that kind of contrived a really long, terrible, fucked up movement of bullshit. You yeah. know what I mean? Like. And so if you're going to write a book, you know, really think about what you're going to write a book about.
Yeah.
Put some thought into that.
Or just don't be Hitler.
Yeah, try that.
What did we learn about Hitler? He was kind of dumb.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to be an artist. He went to art school and failed miserably.
But he was real bad at it.
Yeah,
right?
He fucking sucked at it. That's why, that's like, there's actually a film with John Cusack that does that storyline.
Is John Cusack Hitler?
No, he's the art teacher that, like, pretty much tells Hitler, like, dude, you suck.
Uh-huh. That's kind of funny.
And what sucks is that, you know, maybe if John Cusack hadn't been such a prick about it, and maybe just encouraged Hitler a little bit, maybe he would have stuck with the art and not been so sensitive about everything from that point on. Because it really does kind of push him into politics, because politics becomes his new art form, he says, in the movie.
Okay. But I don't think that him being an artist would have made him any less sensitive.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But maybe just not sensitive about that stuff.
Do you think that my cat drawings that I've been doing are better than Hitler's?
I absolutely do. Absolutely do. Right. I think that's how you should advertise them, is better than Hitler's.
Little bit better than HitlerArt.com. All right, let's stop talking about Hitler. I hate that. We can go on for hours about that shit. Ugh. But yeah, like, what was it when the U.S. on the Normandy Day, he slept till noon? Instead of waking up on time, and he refused to be woken up.
Yeah.
We're talking about Hitler again. But it, there's all sorts of shows about it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, my friend, shall we get into some questions while we're podcasting
yeah.
here?
Yeah, we might as well.
Cool. Well, let's do it. What do you got?
Okay.
You poured water all over.
I spilled water on two of them whilst you were gone. But I dried them in the extremely hot Vegas sun, so now they just look crispy and fucking gross, but they're still readable. The first one that we read last time is right here in my hand. I think you did this one, so we'll stick with the same back and forth that we did.
This is going to be funny because we already thought about this.
Yeah.
And we already gave the advice, so now we're going back and doing it again.
Trying to give the same advice differently?
This isn't advice, though, so this is even funnier.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, from Ricky Frankel. We made fun of the name,
yeah,
which we're not going to do again because that's tasteless.
Absolutely. Sorry, Ricky.
Sorry, Ricky. His email is desertburst@yahoo.com. I thought it said deerburst.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Deerburst is a good band name.
Absolutely.
Ricky, your new job, start a band called Deerburst. And the fucking t-shirt and art for that could be the best.
Just exploding deers.
An exploding deer with a mohawk.
I start drawing that right now.
All right, sorry. Hi, Ryan. I remember last year Off With Their Heads toured with Direct Hit and Morning Glory. I'm a huge fan of all three bands, but I wasn't able to see any of the shows on that tour because it was only on the East Coast, and I live in California. Knows how to party.
California.
Knows how to party. In the city.
City of Compton.
I knew you'd go for Compton.
Of course. Right. Of course.
Sorry, every time I see that word, I have to do that. However, I was able to see Off With Their Heads at Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco on February 3rd. Great show. Boo.
Yeah, we disagree with you vehemently, but...
Yeah, thank you for saying that, but that was terrible.
That was super sick.
We're horrible people, and we shouldn't be allowed to play music.
Absolutely.
My question for you, are there any good stories involving the members of Direct Hit and or Morning Glory that happened on that tour? Seeing how you did a split 7-inch with M Glory, I figured there'd be at least one good one. Really liking the podcast. Ricky. All right, Ricky.
Here we go, Rick.
So we were talking about, in the kindest way possible, how big of a butthole Ezra is.
Yeah.
But I mean that because he's kind of like me.
Yes.
So that's what made me like him. I had the record Poets Were My Heroes, and I decided that I would listen to that on tour every single day and make everybody listen to it because it's awesome. It's about addiction. It's it's just a fucking great record. It's like a Beatles record, but a punk band.
Yeah.
And a metal band. And yeah. Like, it's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I loved it. So I got a hold of Ezra, wrote a fan letter, actually, and then begged them to go on tour with us. And they did. So that's how that came about. And the Split 7-Inch as well. I was just like, man, I'd love to do that. And any chance to put something out on Fat is always fun. I love how that came out. Like, who's going to put it out? And I go, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just Epitaph just, probably won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just do that. So we put out the Split, and we did a little tour with those guys, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Their drummer hated their guts.
Yes.
He had quit the band prior to the tour.
See, I didn't know that. We didn't actually talk about this the last time.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I did know that
what
he
was his name? Leaves or something?
It was Early. Early Gates.
Early?
Early, Early Gates.
Okay. Leaves? Where did
Leaves,
I
get it? Leaves Gates. awesome guy. We don't have issues with Early because...
No, he's fine. Don't.
Yeah. He was a very nice guy. But you could definitely... When bands have tension and you're kind of sitting in your like green room or your backstage area or your hallway, depending on where they put us, their yeah. basement, you can sense tension.
There was definitely tension.
You can kind of tell.
Especially when he said, I fucking hate this band.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of times.
So there, that was always funny. And then the fight that he got in with our friend, the sound guy in New Jersey.
Yeah.
In front of 20 people.
Yeah, yeah. There was a discrepancy with the sound system and the lighting rig at the Court Tavern. I mean, I think it's also good to go back into the fact. Can we talk shit about the guy that promoted the show? Is that like legit? Is that a thing we can do?
I don't care.
Well, I mean, I don't care either. But in their defense, they were also kind of upset about some stuff that was going on about getting like some beers and
yeah.
other stuff. So Ezra was already kind of. In a dark place.
Yeah, there was nothing good about that night.
Yeah, it was a snowstorm. It was shitty out. We all really kind of wanted to bail. And we all kept talking to the promoter like, well, you know, maybe we should just, you know, call this off and I'll go home. It's not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
He was like, no, man. It's going to be packed. It wasn't. And then from there on, tensions arose.
Yeah.
I would
it
say.
It was him screaming at the fucking... sound guy, and then the sound guy just standing his ground. It was great.
Oh yeah, the best part,
the yelling back,
through the sound system too, which is the best part. Like, he wasn't just yelling across the floor. Like, he literally got on the microphone and was just like, no, fuck you, man. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, to like sit back and be impartial to that, be like, I don't really care what happens, this is just great.
Yeah
It's like some weird SNL sketch.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So that had to be my favorite Morning Glory story of that tour.
Yeah.
They're a great band.
Absolutely.
I wish them the best. They have a new record out called War Psalms. Check that out.
Yeah.
It's, as you said, very metallic.
Yeah, dude. It's riff-tastic. There's some stuff in there that blew my mind, I have to say, riff-wise.
Cool. Well, let's move on. That's
All right.
That's a tour story.
Yeah.
We don't need to... Oh, can you grab a piece of that garbage and we'll read it?
Yes.
You shredded that one as well, I see.
Well, because it was so wet and it was actually folded. So I had to pull it apart, soaking wet.
That dude in the Bad Religion shirt is sticking his tongue out as if he had taken 16 pills of Molly.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Just keep walking, buddy.
Yeah,
just
gross.
Keep fucking walking. All right.
Sorry.
No, okay, cool.
I was,
cool,
like,
cool.
So distracted by that, where he was just going like,
oh, kind of like the young lady who walked by.
American Jesus. I like taking Molly at the festival. All right, anyway.
Okay. All right, so yeah, we both agreed, this is from Mike. We both agreed that his email address, Punxsutawney, P-U-N-X, @yahoo.com is a pretty awesome email address.
It is.
All right, we got a band playing in the background.
We do.
Who is it? Do we know?
I don't. I'll be able to guess in a second.
Okay. Let's see if I can.
Is it the guys who escaped from prison?
It's not. Actually, they're like playing fourth.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right in front of SNFU. That's what you said. I remember now. You made an awesome joke about how there was a prison break earlier today.
Oh, there was. There was a prison break earlier today, and I think they're in love with girls, and they're going to come up and be wrangled by Officer Bradford.
Yeah, yeah. He's a cop who also wears breakaway pants. I would keep an eye out. I don't think they're like is rapey a word I can use?
No.
They're that rapey. I can't use that word?
I don't like to touch on that whole subject.
Fair enough. I just think that they're the kind of guys that would peek through your window. You know, they may not come in the window, but they're definitely peeking through the window,
right? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what? Before we even get into this, let's take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
And by that, I mean I'm just going to pause it.
Uh-huh.
So that we don't do it over this.
Okay.
We'll do this between the bands, just in case this is super irritating.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
All right, the band finished. Now we can do this quick. Yep. So read that garbled piece of spaghetti paper.
Okay, here we go, Punxsutawney. Hey, Ryan, big fan of Off With Their Heads in the podcast. My name is Mike, and I'm 23. Here's my problem. My girlfriend and I have been together for almost 5 years. We spend pretty much all of our time together. Mostly all of my friends have moved away for college and don't usually come around. My girlfriend, whom I care a lot about, decided to join the National Guard and is currently in basic training. I've been living alone for 6 weeks now. I go to work, which I hate, and play Xbox when I'm home. To quote you, being alone is getting so hard. God damn it, I'm falling apart. I don't know what to do. How do I deal with being alone?
You definitely should be super supportive of her doing that, I think, because you should be spending your time playing Call of Duty because she's probably going to kick the shit out of you when she gets back.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
In real life, Call of Duty. We had touched on this a bit. You got to learn to be alone. It's like a thing that everybody has to do. You can't rely entirely on a person. You need to get out, do some other things, better yourself so that when you come back, she's just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Mike, you're the best. You try so hard at everything. That's honestly what I think.
No,
what did you have?
Absolutely. I mean, well, for starters, everybody hates work, Mike. That's why it's called work. If it wasn't, it'd be called something else.
It'd be called Xbox.
And I love Xbox. I'm a PlayStation 4 fanatic. I have literally every gaming system in my house right now.
Do you have one?
I have one, two, three, four.
Xbox One.
That's the only I don't have it because I'm broke as shit.
Yeah.
But as soon as I can convince somebody to buy it for me, sold. But I mean, you got to get out, dude. Like even fucking I get out every now and then and do shit. And
look at that.
I know, and that's saying a lot because I'm pretty much a shut in. You know, alone is not for everybody, obviously. Some people are okay with it, but for the most part, I mean, how do you deal with being alone? That's what you do. You just deal with it, man. I mean, you find ways to get your mind off of it, and you move on. And, you know, the lady's National Guard, so she'll be home. You won't be alone always, and distance is not the worst thing sometimes because she sees you're making an effort, and you're getting better, and you're doing things that are independent of her. She's going to miss you. You're going to miss her, and I think you're going to be all right.
And it'll help.
It'll definitely help.
Time apart always helps a
Absolutely.
Bit. So there you go.
Cool.
I hope that helps figure that out. John, what's this burnt piece of paper? Why is it burnt?
I don't know. It's something to do with the pavement, like picked up some weird brown.
It's that hot out here that paper starts to burn.
To burn in the I think you're right. It literally started to burn in the sun.
It literally did.
Holy shit.
I've never seen a piece of paper burn on its own.
Well, all right.
God damn. It is a garbage pail factory.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Did I read that one or did you read
I think
read
you
that
read
one?
This one, but, I mean, we can do whatever you want.
Let me do it. Let's just get through it. All right. Here we go. Next one is from Kevin. All right. My name is Kevin. I suffer from pretty gnarly anxiety and depression. I won't get into all the details since you get it just fine, I assume. So, like you talked about in episode 3, I'm one of those people that refuse to take medication for my fucked up head. So in attempts to be proactive, I've been trying to identify and change the things that seem to trigger it, if it's really anything at all. So I have a bachelor's degree and needed a master's degree for my proverbial dream job. I got rejected from all the programs I applied to, went into a shame spiral, then ended up getting a pretty good manual labor job that is crushing my soul. Yeah, well, that happens.
Yeah.
Since then, however, I have been able to get health insurance, move out of my mom's basement, get engaged to somebody. Here's where advice comes in. At this moment, life is pretty shitty. I feel a chunk of my anxiety comes from my dissatisfaction with my current station in life and have entertained the thought of trying to go for it again and try and get back to school. I'm just fucking frightened of the state that failing will put me in. I'm also scared of becoming a shitty broke student again now that I have an awesome fiance to work towards a life with. I feel it'd be unfair to her, and quite honestly, she truly is the only joy I can derive out of life anymore. What do you think? I understand this may fall under TLDR territory. What? It just feels better to get it out there. What were some of the TLDR?
I don't remember. We should come up with the new ones. The long dong rod? I don't know.
Pterodactyl literature drug reference? tall, lanky dingus retainer.
It was Reaper last time, wasn't it? Tall, lanky, dark Reaper, I believe you said last time.
Totally loud Dr. Rat.
Like that one. That's
dude, that's
awesome.
Such a good band
that's
name.
A good one. Totally loud Dr. Rat's playing this weekend, bro. You going?
Yeah, dude, you going to the total TLDR show? Sorry. Anyway, we could go on like this.
Yeah,
for
yeah we did actually earlier. So
4 days. Cut it shorter. So, well, what do you think, John?
Well, I would say, for starters, go back to school.
Yeah, you definitely should.
Education above everything, for the most part. I have to say that, obviously talk to your fiance and make sure that, you know, there's going to be a financial burden, school costs, and if you're not working your high-paying, soul-crushing job, you know, then she'll probably have to shoulder some of the load. But somewhere down the line, I'm sure you love her a lot. You're going to repay that debt, and if she loves you, she knows that you will. So I wouldn't stress about it, man. Get your learn on.
Yeah, nobody likes being broke, but
no.
It's a big picture thing. School is not an immediate solution. It's a big picture solution.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think you're going to thrive.
And a master's degree is, that will lead to something.
Yeah.
You
will be
about
a
it.
Totally lenient Dr. Rat or whatever the hell.
Absolutely.
I
totally loud.
Totally loud. I really do. I wish I would have gone. I wish it would have been something that I did earlier on, but fuck it. Now I do a free podcast, and I'm hot as hell, and I'm wearing a wife beater at a fucking festival by a porta potty with Bad Religion Molly people.
Oh.
So, hey, could be worse.
Yeah, man.
Be a little broke for
also
a while.
Also, perspective, my friend.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go.
Cool.
I really do believe that. We have to sign a guitar.
Yeah, we've been
quick break.
A quick break.
Weird. We just signed a limited edition punk rock bowling guitar.
Can I ask you a question? I just feel weird every time anybody asks me to sign anything.
Yeah, totally.
It's
I don't
a weird
understand
thing,
why
I,
anyone would want me to do that, but
I mean, I'll do it.
It is what it is.
I have no qualms with doing it.
You're
just,
more of
I
a dick if you don't do it. Than
I think
if
so
you
too.
Do it, but whatever. It's just because we think we're losers because we are losers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's why I feel like I'm a loser.
All right, what do we got next before this next band goes on?
Okay, so this was this one was kind of a heavy one because it touches back on something you did in a previous podcast.
Okay,
this is from Mike. Hey, Ryan, my name is Mike. I'm a teacher working mainly with 7th and 8th grade students. I appreciate your sensitivity to the younger listeners who are writing in about intense topics like suicide and self-injury. I agree that it's totally uncool for someone to write in just to say something like, hey, I'm going to kill myself. It's a terrible way for them to go about receiving the attention and information they need. Unfortunately, young teens have a tendency to be overly dramatic. I know that I was at that age, and to see it in my students on a daily basis. It certainly isn't your responsibility to save someone simply because you decided to host a podcast. I can relate to feeling unqualified to deal with some of the heavy issues that people come to you with. I think that you're doing a kick-ass job providing positive insight to people who need it. I've had to learn a lot from the experiences in my job. I want to feel like I am always offering something of quality. Sorry, the wind is constantly blowing this thing out of my hand.
There's also a footprint on that piece of paper.
There is. That was my foot. I was holding it down earlier. Something of quality to the young people that seek my advice. The truth is that sometimes I don't know if I am, but I know that I'm trying. You mentioned that you're not really qualified to provide adequate advice and that you're mainly trying to host an environment for people to discuss some of the darker things in life. In providing that platform at all and to being honest about your own struggles, I think you are providing quality advice. You're right to say that all you can do is be honest about your own struggles. I think you... You're right to say that all you can do is listen sometimes, and maybe there is an experience that's relative from your own life that you can share. Just having a listening ear and a place to not feel judged can be super cathartic for people. The podcast has been awesome. Hopefully you keep it going. My friend Jen and I are probably going to come bother you at PRB. Mike.
Hell yeah. Mike, who knows? Maybe you're showing up right as we talk about this.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah, he's referring to in the last episode, a couple kids wrote in and said that they're just, one of them said, I'm giving myself another week. I said that don't do that because you're putting that on me to come up with a solution that can't be done in a week. That shit takes a long time. It takes a while to work through. But on the other hand of that, like, I don't want to say don't write in things. I do take that back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it was just weird. I felt bad.
Yeah.
So I was trying to be like, don't get that heavy on me. But you go ahead. Do it.
Yeah.
But the fact is you got to be willing to listen and you got to be willing to help. Like, the coolest thing that I've noticed is all the people that write in and if I read the story, then other people write in and ask me to just get in touch with that first person.
Yeah.
Outside of the podcast. So you have this entire community of people that are genuinely interested in the similar problems that you all share.
Yeah.
So that's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
Goblins.
Yeah, I know.
So there you go. I appreciate you writing in that. It's a weird thing to deal with when strangers tell you that, but fuck it.
Yeah.
If that's what I'm here doing, then I'm into it. I hope I can help you, but don't ever give yourself a timeline like that, because it's really unrealistic.
Absolutely.
To be able to fix from I want to die till being happy
in 7 days.
In 7 days.
I mean, you can't even
maybe
lose 10,
it was a
you can't
work,
even you can't even lose 10 pounds in 7 days.
Yeah.
So you
might
know.
Even be a work week.
Yeah.
A 5 day work week,
yeah.
Not a chance.
No, no.
No, but you can start, and every start takes a while. So there you go. What do we got? I appreciate
it. Did you want me to go back into the same story I told in the last
one?
Yeah,
do that.
Sum it up a little bit quicker, maybe.
It's okay. Just go ahead and do it.
I just...
It's good that you have this, because this is a good one to share.
I mean, it just really kind of pertained to this subject, and I... Because when I listen to this podcast, because I do, it really struck a chord with me personally, because... I had a friend when I first had moved away a long time ago to Texas. It was my senior year. I didn't know anybody. And I befriended a guy in Texas. His name was Nick. He was a great guy. Easily became like my best friend in that whole state. Looked after me, took care of me, fed me when I was broke. Just a really genuine good human being. A few years later, I had moved to Illinois and received a phone call. We did a good job of keeping in touch and staying pretty good friends. And one night I received a phone call from him where he was fairly upset about something that was happening to him in life involving his girlfriend, in which she had been cheating on him, and through her course of cheating he had contracted something. We won't say what it was, but it was not curable but treatable, and something you could live with. But in his mind it was something he could not live with, and he was basically calling me to tell me that he was saying goodbye, because after this phone call he was planning to commit suicide. And I spent a very long time on the phone with him that night, about 3 hours, trying to... What I thought I was doing was talking him off a ledge and, you know, come live with me, we'll take care of it, we'll figure it out. You know, there's ways around it, there's medicines, there's treatments. I mean, it's nothing is the end until it's the end. And I really thought in my mind that I had done something heroic and I had saved this guy. And he had told me that, you know, he had changed his mind and that he had kind of been talked off the ledge and that he would kind of get back in touch with me in a couple of weeks and let me know how things were going. And I really hung up the phone that night thinking, okay, I'd done my good deed, and I really felt like the guy was going to be okay. And it turns out a few weeks later I was contacted by his mother, who found the phone call records through his cell phone and didn't recognize the number and wanted to know who his last phone call was, because promptly after speaking with me, he hung up the phone and committed suicide.
That's gnarly, man.
And it's something I will live with the rest of my life, why I didn't call his parents, the police, why I didn't try and do something. And it wakes me up at night. It haunts me. I see his face all the time, and I really, really miss the guy like you wouldn't believe. And
I spilled chocolate on my shirt.
Just as we have people walking up, as I'm telling this really, really depressingly dark story. But it's Stacey D, so I don't give a shit. She's awesome.
Yeah, Stacey D is a regular.
Stacey D, the Mick Benzo of this podcast. So yeah, it's not something that you want to put on somebody, especially if you're not sure and you're just saying these things because you feel a certain way. I would. Really say evaluate where you're at, and if it's your family or if it's your friends, then seek out new family and seek out new friends and do anything you can to distract yourself and move on and keep your mind occupied and just do your best to like not put someone in that sort of a position, because literally if you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Doesn't matter what Ryan says, what I say.
No, it doesn't.
So
well, yeah, if you want to talk to John about that, write in.
Absolutely.
I'll put you in touch. But we have celebrity guests.
Holy
at
shit.
The table.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting.
We have Bad Cop, standing right in front of us.
Dude.
John.
Dude.
Give
dude,
him the microphone.
Dude. Talk.
Hi.
Hey, what's
doing?
Up?
How you doing,
Everybody
Ryan?
Knows you.
I miss you.
Yeah.
How miss are you from home.
Yeah. I'm glad you found us.
Yeah, I am too. We were walking around. It's very hot.
Yeah. It's super hot.
It's so hot.
There's
I was going to tell you the best story last night. Instead of doing anything, I decided to go into the club where the band was playing, you know, the house band, and had a great time, like, singing karaoke with, like, dancing
you
all night.
You weren't karaoke?
Exactly. I was not doing anything punk rock at all.
Nice.
It was fun.
I always appreciate that.
Hold on. I'm going to pass it along, okay? So you guys...
Do
this
it.
This is Jenny and Myra, and they're also in Bad Cop Backup. Introduce yourselves.
Oh, look at that.
I think you
Hello, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
I drum for Bad Cop, Bad Cop. My name is Myra.
Hello, Myra. Thank you for stopping by the table.
What else would you like to know? Just don't ask me my age.
You don't have any stories for the 25. For the weekend?
25. I'm Jenny, and I'm also 25 forever. And I play guitar and sing. And Lynn is passed out somewhere.
What time is it?
It's early.
It's like 4 or something?
It's early.
It's a good time to take a nap.
She's holding it down because we can't party. So, you know.
Why can't you party?
I just can't keep up. I'm a big baby and I like to sleep.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I still do it though.
And drink water and stuff. So.
Yeah, the good things.
It's my favorite.
Right on. Well, thank you for stopping by, Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
We love you guys. Thank you.
Yes, you can, because you have a sloppy stain on your shirt. Bad Cop, Bad Cop will be playing tomorrow
at
the festival at 3.
3:40.
At 3:40, so get your ass here early and check them out.
Don't fuck up.
Yeah. All right, back. That's pretty cool. We had to redo this, because then we got a little bit of a Bad Cop cameo appearance.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, actually.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
All right, but our last thing we're going to read today is a new segment.
Brand new segment.
The theme music brought to you by John and I's new band called Righteous Manslaughter.
Pretty much the best thing I've ever been a part of.
It is. And the only output that we have so far is this 25-second intro to this new segment called Ask My Sister, She's a Nurse. But let me read this. I got this email, and I realized that I'm not particularly qualified to actually answer this question. So here we go. All right. Emily writes in, I could use some words of encouragement. Or maybe I just feel like sharing. I don't know. When I was pregnant with my boy in the hospital. Jesus Christ, I'm terrible. I've only had one beer. I'm just like, eh. When I was pregnant with my boy and in the hospital after I had him, they told me over and over, it's normal to feel blue for a while, but call us if it lasts more than 2 weeks. Those hormones could affect you more severely because your brain is naturally fucked up. So call if you need us. Just don't wait for it to go away. Call us if you need us. Don't be embarrassed. Just call us. He's almost 4 months old now. I take care of him, keep him clean and fed and loved, but logically I know there's something not right with me, and honestly it's been that way since I've had him. I'm just fucking tired of something always being wrong. I don't want to go back to therapy because I just want to be okay. I never think of harming him. I think of harming myself, but I don't. And I don't talk about thinking about it because I'm being an adult and still struggling with self-injury is fucking embarrassing. I guess I'm just throwing myself a pity party because I don't want to go to another therapist and tell them all about this stuff again. I want to be okay, and I don't want to have to work at it daily. Don't most people get that luxury? Not having to positive talk themselves out of crying 10 times a day. I don't know. I try to chill out, and I fail. I hope this made sense. Just ignore me if it didn't. All right, so I feel semi-unqualified to answer questions involving postpartum depression. So this is our new segment. Ask my sister. She's a nurse, a registered nurse in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Legit.
And she has volunteered her time to help with questions that I might not be able to adequately answer. Here is Righteous Manslaughter's theme music for the segment. Ask my sister. She's a nurse. Welcome to Ask My Sister, She's a Nurse. This is coming from my sister, Tara. All right, Emily. It is common to have postpartum depression, but should have ended by 1 to 2 months. Baby is 4 months, and it's way too long to still be dealing with this. I'd be interested to know if she struggled with self-injurious behavior before the baby. 99% of that behavior stems from some type of sexual abuse. It's not uncommon for women who have just had babies to struggle with this behavior again, since they hold so much shame in their lady parts, which were traumatized and visualized to the max during childbirth. The main concern with postpartum depression is the ability of mom to attach to the baby and teach the baby how to attach and trust others. One of the most fascinating psychiatric topics for me is reactive attachment disorder. It's when a child is physically cared for but not given the love and attention they need. We see it a lot in orphans adopted from other countries. If the baby's emotional needs cannot be met through mom, someone has to step in and provide it, or they will set up for or it will be set up for a lifetime of relational issues. Many times moms are prescribed Lexapro because it works quickly and can also be stopped quickly. It's especially helpful when there are underlying psychiatric issues. Sorry, losing it. Some women are even prescribed this when they go home with baby. Isn't it the baby?
No, I'm guessing
if you
have a baby, you probably just take the D right out.
All right. With baby, also known as Steven or whatever. I don't know. Because they previously struggled with depression. I wonder if that was the reason she told you over to call for help if she needs it. It's more common for women who have this depression than not. I'm inclined to believe there's significant history of trauma that she doesn't want to bring back up again, but many times the balance of therapy is dealing with the past and finding a way to move forward. Sometimes I think people spend too much time talking about what happened and not enough time talking about how to live now. Or so focused on getting better they never heal the past. While I'm not saying therapy either way, it might be safest to have another opinion on things. Please encourage her to seek the help that is offered. It's common. No one is going to take her baby, and it's the safest, most loving thing she can do to set her and her baby up. It sucks, and yes, everyone should have the luxury, but ignoring it won't make it go away. This is a huge adjustment. Please encourage her to not be so hard on herself. Babies are a ton of responsibility, and it's huge when you take in the fact that you have to keep a baby alive. Terrifying. I had a few panic attacks myself and even ended up in the ER because I thought my heart was going to explode. But eventually she will learn to trust that she is the only person in the world this baby needs to be with and that she knows exactly what the baby needs. It's the best, but she has to get out of the black cloud to see it. So there you go, Emily. Advice from my sister.
Excellent job, Tara.
And Tara, this song's for you. All right, so that's pretty much what we're going to do today, I think. Since we talked a little bit about Morning Glory, they're playing Rebellion Fest this year and currently are in Europe. I thought we'd play one of my favorite songs. It's not off their new record. I do love that record, but I went and I bought this song on iTunes.
So
assuming that Ezra's not going to sue me. You never know with him.
I know.
You never know.
I know.
Do we there?
So emotional.
Jesus.
Sorry. Ezra.
He is still going to kill us. I like how we brought that part back from the deleted.
I know, episode. Of all the things with the teasing, probably one of my favorite people I've ever met. <It's just>
Nice. So this song is called Another Way, something about the walls outside of Eden.
Yep.
Right?
Check it out.
It's a fucking awesome song.
Absolutely.
So here we go. Morning Glory on Anxious and Angry. Bitch! All right, that's Morning Glory. We got Another Way outside the walls of Eden. Thank you guys for tuning in for the Punk Rock Bowling Edition. This will be up in a couple of hours, actually.
Yep.
So if you are at Punk Rock Bowling and for some reason you're listening to a podcast instead of drinking the puke out of your friend's mouth and sucking down Molly from the guy from Bad Religion shirt's ball sack or whatever it is that people at festivals do. Oh, God, people are gross.
Oh, the grossest.
And I'm sitting there saying that in a spaghetti blaster here.
I mean, you are wearing it well. There's no denying.
You got to crouch so the gut really sticks out.
Oh, like the picture we posted of me on the internet recently wearing that. It's like, oh, I'm not that fat, am I? I'm fat.
No, these things just make you look like a garbage pail slop.
Yeah, just a big
which is what I am. If you are interested in talking to anyone that wrote in and shared a story, or look, if you have some words of wisdom for anyone, keep it in the community. Everyone help each other out. It'll be awesome. Email me, anxiousandangry@gmail.com. Call in if you want. I'm sorry I'm trying to get to all that, but it's been hectic. This next month, everything will be caught up. I swear to God. You can also call, what's the number? 1-800-565-3250. You can go to my website and do that there. You can write at the Facebook thing, even though I think you're lazy if you do. go to the website, www.anxiousandangry.com. Buy a shirt, donate. I still have a few of these flexies left, but not much. So get on that, because they're going to go for like literally $1,000 each on eBay.
Yeah, seriously. Invest.
This song everyone asks about that we play in the beginning and the end is called They Dried Up All the Lakes by Toys That Kill.
Thank God I bought a lake.
Thank God my dumb old face. Any of those. Or They Tied Up All the Lakes. So, my friend Todd C., take us out. Thanks, Nice John.
Tied up on a lace. And they tied up on a lace. And now, do you get the message now? They tied up on a lace. And they tied up on a lace.